Good evening, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and get started here. The title of this lesson this evening is Exercising Our Faith. Now, when we think of exercising, certain things come to mind like running, walking, jogging, swimming, and even weightlifting. But the net result of exercise is strength. You build your strength, say you're weightlifting muscles, even your lungs with running and swimming, you build up strength. So exercising, remember that, builds strength. Now let's talk about faith a little bit. Now we all know, I'm sure most everybody here is familiar with Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But there's more. Sort of like Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. We're going to pick it up at verse 2, but let me circle back to verse 1. It says, Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The highlighting words in this verse would be substance and evidence. Substance being something that you can sink your teeth into. Sort of like a rock, something solid. Unlike smoke or gel or something that has very little substance. And evidence is what we use to prove things. Okay? Evidence is the thing that is non-negotiable. It is what we use to establish truth. But then there's phrases within this first verse also, things hoped for, substance of things hoped for, and evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Later on we're going to see which elder they're talking about and what they did to obtain that good testimony. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So let's drill down a little bit more. Let's go to Romans 8:24. So we talk about faith all the time, and we use that verse. A lot of times you just kind of put a period on it. But we want to unpack it just a little bit more so we can really get a good picture of what faith is. Romans chapter 8, verse 24, the Bible says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await with perseverance. Let's let that soak in for a little bit. We'll go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen, which are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So faith has, as we're reading, there's a whole lot of hoped for and not seen going on here. Now we're talking about exercising our faith. So we need to establish what faith is. Now let's get to the exercising. We're going to go into the book of James because James has a lot to say about faith in a very clear, unambiguous way. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. We're going to go ahead and read down a little bit. Now, verse 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead." There's a word that should be leaping out at us as we go through this lesson, and it's called works. And we're going to interchange works with exercise. And then we see we can connect these dots here. It's James, like I said, in a very unambiguous and a very clear way, is describing what faith is and how to recognize it, how it's manifested. Verse 18, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believed and trembled. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar?" Let's take a look at that. We find that account in Genesis 22. It's kind of long, so I may skip around on some verses to get the just to get the point across. Genesis chapter 22, picking up the reading at verse 1. Now, we stopped reading at verse 21. We're going to pick the reading back up in verse 22 in James, but I want to address this account and what Abraham did. One of those elders I was talking about earlier, that what he did to obtain that good testimony. Chapter 22, verse 1. "Now it came to pass, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take,'" he being God, "'take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and he arose and went to the place which God had told him to do." So Abraham is preparing everything for this sacrifice. We'll jump up, skip down to verse 7. "But Isaac," Abraham's son, "Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, 'My father.' He said, 'Here I am, son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went their way." Now, here we're going to get to where the rubber meets the road. Verse 9. "Then he came to a place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood." Verse 10. "And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." This is faith being manifested by work. This is an exercise in faith that Abraham did. Let me tell you what the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't say, "Hang on a second, God. I did all this stuff here, but I knew there would be something you would provide here. This is my only son whom you know I love. I can't do this." That's not what it says. Abraham, The angel of the Lord had to stop him. Okay? But the angel of the Lord called to him and said, this is verse 11, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Do you see that Abraham, that his faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. By the exercising of that faith, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man justified by works and not by faith only. A man is justified by works and not by faith only. Verse 25, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? That's found in Joshua, the second chapter. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So exercising our faith requires some work. It requires some things that need to be done. But what things? See, exercising our faith is not believing that it will all turn out okay. That's not exercising your faith. Exercising your faith is trusting in God and that He will see you through no matter what happens. The last part of that, no matter what happens, statement, let's let that cook in your head for a little bit. Because there were these three young men that understood how that works. They understood faith in God no matter what happens. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This story is too long. I don't have time to get into it, so I'm going to paraphrase and let you know what happened to these three young men. This is found in Daniel, the third chapter. King Nebuchadnezzar built a golden image, and he said, everyone needs to bow down and worship this image. When they hear the harp and the flute, and I'll just say music for the sake of easy speaking. When you hear this, I want everybody must bow down and worship this golden image. Well, when they played the music, everybody bowed down except these three young boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't do it. Well, the local snitches in the area came to the king and said, hey, king, these three young boys, they didn't bow down when the music was played. And King Nebuchadnezzar is now upset. He said, bring them here. So they're now in front of him. And he says, look, I am going to give you a chance. I'm going to go ahead and play the harp and the lyre and all this stuff here that's going on. So I'm going to give you another opportunity to bow down and worship this golden image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need no second chance. We're not doing it. Okay? By the way, part of that conversation that King Nebuchadnezzar decreed was, if you don't bow down in front of this golden image, you're going to be thrown in this fiery furnace. So now here we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before King Nebuchadnezzar, telling him, we don't need a second chance to do this. We're not going to do it. And the king said, well, you're going in the furnace. And what God is going to do, let me use the right phrasing. What God will deliver you from my hand? That's what the king said to these three boys. And they said, well, my God will. Okay, since you're asking, my God will deliver us from your hand. And if he doesn't, that's okay. No matter what happens. So now the king is very upset. He says, hey, heat that furnace up 7 times hotter than it normally is. I want you to wrap these guys up. I'm paraphrasing now. You have to go to Daniel chapter 3 to read because it's a long story. But this is how the story unfolds. The king is upset. He says, heat that fire up 7 times more hotter than it normally is. And he gets these strong men to wrap these guys up real good. He wants them to burn up good. And so he gets these guys, and the furnace is so hot that when the guys who bound these three young guys got near the furnace, they got burned up. They fell in, and Nebuchadnezzar is looking in there, and he says, wait a second. Didn't we put 3 guys in here? Why is it that I see 4? And one of them looks like the sons of God. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar has a change of tune. He calls out to them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now listen to what he says. Servants of the Most High God, come up out of there. And then he told everybody else, from now on, if you guys don't worship and respect and bow down to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God, it's not going to be good for you. So these three young men knew they exercised their faith no matter what was going to happen. They refused to do the wrong thing in God's eyes. Okay? James, once again, we're back in James. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I think being thrown in a furnace is somewhat of a trial. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives all liberally. So God is not stingy with his wisdom. If you ask him, he'll give it to you liberally. Okay? Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Now, what is a double-minded man? Double-minded person. I'll give you my version of it, my understanding, if you will. A double-minded person has 1 foot firmly planted in the world. This is a Christian, supposed to be a Christian. A double-minded person has 1 foot firmly planted in the world and the other foot loosely planted in the Word. It's why he's unstable. And I think there's lots of reasons why people's faith are not strengthened, because they're not exercising it for different reasons. But I think one of the biggest reasons why people have faith that is weakened is fear. Fear of so many different things. Fear of not getting what I want. Fear of having to give up what I want. Fear of pain. Fear of suffering. There's lots of fears we have. And so if we have fear, then we have a problem, because fear and faith can't operate in the same sphere, in the same body, if you will. If one is present, then the other one usually isn't. If one of these is always missing, if the other one is hanging around, and if they're both there, whoever is the strongest will push the other one out. Fear and faith. If the faith is stronger, it will push out the fear. If you haven't exercised your faith, it's going to be too weak. If we're not exercising our faith on a daily basis, then we are going to be weak in our faith. We cannot wait until the day of the race to start training. It's too late. Let me give you a strong man analogy. In a world where there's no weapons, guy buys some weights and he brings them home. because he wants to be able to protect his family. He brings his weights home and he throws them in a corner, and he knows he's supposed to be putting them to use, but in every day there's always some reason why he can't. Too tired, too this, too that. The days go by, the weeks go by, the months go by, and the years go by. And then one day he comes home and there is a man, a strong man in his house, abusing his wife, smacking his kids around. He runs over there and tries to stop him, but he's too weak. It's not going to do any good to run over there and unbox those weights and start trying to work out right now. It's too late. Exercising on a daily basis is how we build our faith. It's how we strengthen our faith. There's another way to strengthen our faith also. The first division of Psalms, verses 1 and 2, says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." This is another work that strengthens our faith, that exercises our faith. He meditates day and night. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." Now, Joshua was talking about the law. But let me fast forward to 2021. "This word of God shall not depart from your mouth." But if you haven't put it in here, it can't even be here to depart. So let's make that parallel here. Joshua was talking about the law, but as I read, think about the word of God. It shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. There it goes again. "That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success." A couple of nights, weeks, not sure how long ago, Preston gave a lesson that talked about strengthening our faith in God. I think he used David, wasn't it? That was a good example. And it was a great message. And this kind of sisters with that message. We must, David, he was exercising his faith. As many times he messed up, he was exercising his faith in God. So it was a great lesson. I'll just say this while I'm passing down this road. Evening service is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. So if you weren't here, you missed it. Sorry, you missed it. It was a great lesson. Now, we do all this exercising of our faith because we want to be able to speak these words when our time is at hand. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this lesson up now. 2 Timothy, this is Paul talking to Timothy. 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is why we want to exercise our faith, so we can state these words. Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." So exercising our faith, build our confidence to be able to say this when we stand before God, which is our goal as a Christian. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," is what we want to hear. So the lesson is yours. As I look around, I'm not sure. There could be some folks in here who have not yet obeyed the gospel. I never shut a lesson down without giving an invitation, because we just never know who needs to hear this. To acquire that faith that you need to exercise, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God." Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith," that you need to be exercising that faith. "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently, not half-heartedly, seek him." Then you must repent. So you got to hear, got to believe, and you got to repent. Acts 17 and 30, God is telling this. This is what he said. He said, at the time of man's ignorance, God winked. He looked away. But now, there's no excuse. We have this now. And now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Then we must confess. And the confession we make is not praying a sinner's prayer. It's not confessing your sins. God already knows those. Trust me. It's the confession that we make that brings life to you, eternal life, is that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession that brings. That confession brought death to Christ, but it'll bring life to you. There's a whole lot, I just don't have time, but that confession that the eunuch made, that Philip took his confession, he took him in the water and baptized him, which is the last thing that I'm talking about needs to be done. You got to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Acts 2:38, Peter talking to the tribes of Israel, told them they did a pretty terrible thing, and they, those that received what he said, where they were asking, well, what shall we do? How do we fix this mess? That's how you know there's godly sorrow. You start hearing that question, what do I do to fix this? How can we fix this? Men and brethren, what shall we do? That's what Peter told him. He said, repent. There's that word again. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sin. Mark 16:16 says, he that believes, there's that believe again, and is baptized shall be. So if you have heard what I've said and you're compelled in any way to respond to the gospel, any of those who are watching my Facebook Live or live stream, whatever you want to call it, if you have questions, feel free to contact us. We'll gladly answer your questions about what we're saying, because what we say is from the book. It's not of our own thinking. It's all from the book. If you need prayer, if you need to make a confession, this is for Christians who make the confession. They can confess their sins. We can do that. The non-Christians, you haven't gotten there yet. You need to establish your relationship with God first. So if you're subject to the call of gospel in any way, now's the time to respond as we stand and sing the invitation song.